The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
You're listening to Wrestling Night in Canada on the Shining Wizards Network with your hosts, Matt Copper, Dustin Maruca, and Snowy White.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to another exciting episode of Wrestling Night in Canada. I'm Snowy White.
I'm Matt Copper.
I'm Dustin Maruca.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Yeah. Sorry, I just had to do it. with all the hype of LA Knight recently, I just had to do it.
No allergies this time, I can see.
Yeah, he can see, he can speak, he's here.
Right, right,
He has made his return.
Almost got knocked out with the mic stand, but we're good.
Yep. I think that's the biggest absence since Roman Reigns recently from SmackDown.
Yep.
Got to advertise your big comeback.
No, that's right. Yeah. That's right. We are a fully armed and operational battle station tonight. So awesome, awesome. And I'm glad, I'm sure all of our listeners are glad that we're all here and ready to rock. And it should be a pretty interesting episode. But to be honest, though, we were kind of struggling for what exactly we were going to be talking about because the last little while I've kind of been out of it.
Yeah, you're just, you know, you're just tuned out. Yeah,
just kind of. I'm even behind on the NWA, and that's like federation that
I
enjoy
mean,
the
with
most.
With what they're doing with the Insane Clown Posse, I can't really blame you. It's
no.
The NWA just doesn't seem like the NWA anymore these days.
Well, it's certainly not, you know, when people say the NWA, like, their mind goes back to the Crockett days.
Yeah, or to that rap group of the same name,
yeah.
whose name I'm not allowed to say.
No.
That's right. So, yeah, it's never going to be the same right now.
New Day with Attitude.
Yeah, I was there with
New Days with Attitude.
New Day with Attitude.
I'm still kind of optimistic about NWA 74. It's just 75.
Is it
75? 74. I thought it was 74.
I don't know.
Coming up.
Let me check.
Yeah.
With the main event, Tyrus is going to be defending the world title in a bull rope match.
I cannot believe he's still the NWA champion.
75.
It is 75.
Okay. My mistake.
Yeah, like I guess, like not only the fact that he won, Tyrus to the NWA championship has been like what Jinder Mahal was to the WWE championship. It's like you're surprised at first that he won it, and I'm even more surprised on how long he's held on to the damn thing.
But it was a Canadian as WWE champion, so.
Well, I know, but they did it for other reasons, of course.
Right,
but
right.
Just because he's Canadian doesn't mean he's a good wrestler. I'm sorry. And Tyrus.
Don't hinder the Jinder. What are you talking about?
Yeah, where's Jinder now? Where's Jinder ever since he lost the WWE championship? Yeah, what has he done? He won the U.S. title, and then what?
He came back.
He kind of went on a steady decline. Now he's managing a tag team that hasn't even really done anything since they got drafted. Because, you know, that means so much nowadays.
Yeah.
After the draft, everyone just stuck solely to their brands that they were all drafted to.
Anyways,
you know, right? Remember how they made a big deal out of that?
That went, that lasted like 3 weeks. And then Roman was like,
not even 1 week. It's just like the World Heavyweight Championship is going to be exclusive to Raw. Now here's the SmackDown side of the tournament. What?
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But anyway,
I think
wrestling.
I think the main reason like they're you know putting the cart behind Tyrus is his exposure on Fox News. Does he not have some sort of national?
He's on a talk show, I think.
Yeah.
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 That really the kind of exposure you want, though?
Or, I guess that doesn't matter.
I guess that's subjective, but, like, I don't know.
Is his talk show called the Funkasaurus Hour?
Well, it's on Fox, though, and it's kind of like, I don't know.
Foxasaurus Hour?
I don't want to get political here, but is that really the kind
of. Yeah, because the guy has a tendency of being rather conservative.
And, yeah, and, like, a lot of wrestling fans aren't. So yeah. It's
or don't really care either way.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know,
like, are a bunch of the people watching Fox News watching wrestling? I guess Fox. I guess SmackDown's on Fox, but still.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's the people watching it, and then they see him show up, and they're like, "Wrestling's still around?"
Yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm. He's on the WWF. Holy shit! Yeah, I know.
Not quite.
yeah, but you know, that's...
I recognize that belt from my childhood. That's the National Wrestling Alliance title. Who's that guy?
The Real World's Championship.
Yeah. So
who's Chubby McGee over here?
Sweet Charlotte's being paraded around on Fox News like some kind of a.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to describe it. Like some like some kind of prize to be won. Oh wait. A piece of meat.
Yeah.
Work.
Yeah. And they announced the inclusion of Violent J.
Don't care.
And it's just like, I get it. They have a history in wrestling and all that.
Yeah.
But is...
Like they had their own stuff going on in, what, WCW and WWF.
Yeah.
And, and ECW as well.
Oh, yeah, of course. And Juggalo Championship Wrestling, lest we forget.
Yeah.
Wrestling, quote unquote,
JC Dub.
Not to confuse with the good promotion, Jersey Championship Wrestling.
There we are.
But I think the real question here is, where's Shaggy Two Dope? I'm kidding.
Actually, yeah, where's Shaggy Two Dope? Come on.
Why? Like, is Insane Clown Posse even a? Even really a thing?
I remember when I was still in high school and they put out their last album. This was in 2003.
Oh, okay.
And I think they got back together at some point in 20 years. I don't know. I just stopped paying attention. I remember they put out that song, Homies. And
the only good song of theirs.
Is it?
Yep.
Okay.
I like it.
I'll take your word for
it. I like it.
Okay. I just remember they had a song where he says, "The blind magnets, how the fuck do they work?" that is a line in a
or
song.
Or the stupid chicken hunting song.
Yeah, I don't know.
I want to say, it'll be interesting to see what they do. Yeah.
Yeah, he'll probably come out, say some stuff, maybe take a bump, maybe not. I don't know.
Spray some Faygo, you know.
Yep. Call people juggalos or chickens or something. I don't know.
Oh god, is Superhuman gonna show up too?
Oh god.
and is this even
is
this even what the NWA wants? Or
it's what Billy Pumpkins wants, yeah, apparently.
Because like what we see today is a far cry from yesteryear.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, they're still a wrestling program.
Yeah, true.
You know, it's not a sports entertainment, and you know, it's an old school to the old studio and all that. I don't know. I'm going into 75 pretty apprehensive right now. So
I don't know. Like,
we'll see.
NWA when Power was the thing before the pandemic hit. And
right.
I just kind of tuned out because, well, obviously they stopped making episodes. But yeah, and then I haven't kept up with it.
And then Nick Aldis is now one of the longest reigning champions because, well, pandemic.
Yeah. Well.
And he defended it maybe 3 times during that.
Maybe. Same thing with Walter being the NXT UK champion.
Yep. I was champ for 3 years. Yeah, you defended it twice.
800-something days. Yeah.
Sounds like Roman Reigns. He's...
But he's defended it twice recently.
Breaking all these records. He's about to surpass...
He already surpassed Pedro Morales and... Hulk Hogan's second longest reign.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And he's still like a whole year away.
It'd be like next September will be Hogan's first reign.
Hogan's longer reign. Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, the thing about that statistic though is that they're just making it as a world championship. He's been universal champion for that long. He hasn't been WWE. He's been WWE champion for less than 500 days, which is the title that is being compared to all these people.
Right.
So that's like, I don't know. It just seems like it's impressive that he's held a world championship for that long, but it's not like the same championship as all these other guys. I don't know. It seems like a big goalpost move, you know? It's
he
just surpassed this one and this one. It's like, but not with a different championship. The same company, sure.
Right.
But I don't know. And then Yeah, Gunther, on the other hand, he broke Macho Man Randy Savage's...
As of talking, he broke it today.
Yeah, his Intercontinental Championship record. He's about to... He's like just over a week away from breaking Pedro Morales's.
And he's 40 days from...
40 days from being the longest of all time, beating Honky Tonk Man's.
Yeah.
So... Wow. Yeah, but he's defending it a week from today, as at the time we're recording, come SummerSlam, against Drew McIntyre. That's going to be a banger of a match, and I hope Gunther retains. Mm-hmm. Fingers crossed, because I really, really want him to beat that record. He, like, a lot of people in the last little while deserves to break that record,
yeah.
I think. And that's two people this year that will have broken two of Pedro Morales' own records.
Yeah, poor Pedro. Yeah. Poor Pedro. Poor Pedro.
Roman, oh, yeah. Roman beats his world title reign, and now Gunther's about to beat his fucking IC title reign. Wah, wah.
Wow. Here's some homework, guys. Go search out some Pedro Morales matches.
Oh, I've seen
like
a couple.
When he was young. Yeah, like mm-hmm. the guy was amazing.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, yeah. So, okay, well, that gives us kind of a nice segue here as to... I guess maybe it's that time. Our paper WNIC champion sitting over there has kind of been ducking us lately.
Yeah, he haven't defended the title in a while.
Defended the title in a while, and I think...
I guess we didn't do Money in the Bank predictions.
No, in.
I think maybe it's
time... Oh, yeah,
time.
We were going to, but then I couldn't see.
Yeah, and then, like, we... Well, the pay-per-view was on at, like, noon, so we couldn't even watch it because I was at work.
Yeah,
so
that work thing pisses me off. Just mine, but all my buddies as well. Like, there's nothing I hate more than, hey man, I'm going to a show or I'm going to this.
Why you gotta have a job?
Well, it's like, what the hell?
Well, it's like next weekend, for example.
Okay.
Day of SummerSlam, you're both gonna watch it here.
Well,
I'm working.
I don't know.
I'm working.
I'll be at work like up until before the show starts. I don't know if Snowy want to come check it out?
I don't know. Our Liquor Mart employees are on strike, and if there's a line that I will not cross, and that's a picket line.
Mm.
So to watch SummerSlam, I might need some refreshment.
you need some assistance in watching any WWE related product.
Well, right, I guess you were right. Switching back to beer for one day there, Snowy.
Yeah, going to the vendor. Well, I mean, they sell seltzers at vendors. You can just drink some seltzers. It's still a fruity drink. It's 100 calories per can.
Just buy a shit ton of White Claws. It'll be good.
Yeah.
All right.
Well. Or Truly's.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Go. The Truly Berry Pack is great.
Yeah,
I have it all the time.
Right on. So with that in mind, let's kind of jump into the SummerSlam predictions, as is kind of tradition around here. Now, the past little while, we've been doing it all on Facebook, online, and then giving the results on the show and all that. But we thought for a big event like SummerSlam.
Yeah, a week away at the time of recording.
Yeah, so. Maybe it would be best if we just kind of, you know, shared with our... esteemed listeners, our picks, and, you know, how I'm going to go about regaining my WNIC title.
I can't say this for sure, but I think this is the first time we've done this on the show since the Skype era.
I think so.
The pandemic era.
Yeah.
Well, maybe WrestleMania, but...
Oh, maybe. I don't remember. It's like... Our episodes are so few and far between nowadays.
Yeah,
it's like,
jobs.
Yeah.
Jobs and work and life.
Remember when the pandemic era, we just used to do this every week because we had time.
Yeah.
We didn't have any obligations.
What
or
are
anything.
You guys doing today? Well, I can't go anywhere.
Well,
what a strange point of history that we all lived through.
It was.
It happens every couple, like every 1,000 years or so. And it just happened fucking 3 years ago to us. Like, come on.
Well,
so hopefully there won't be another.
Let's hope there won't be another one for another 1,000 years.
Yeah,
when we're all very long gone.
So we're gonna ask Mr. Copper here to step up to the mic here and throw us out what we need to know here.
Okay, so at the time of recording, there are 8 matches planned for SummerSlam. Card subject to change. you know how it goes.
Yeah.
We still got the go home Raw and SmackDown before the show. Things could change at that point. Stipulations could be added, matches could be added, who knows. But starting right now, we're just going to go through the 8 that they have officially listed. Starting with the SummerSlam Battle Royal, The only person who's officially been announced so far is LA Knight. Yeah.
The person who's going to win.
The person who's going to win for sure.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking that. Aren't they kind of? Because I am so out of it with the WWF.
Like, he is getting so, like, such good pops. Like, it is incredible how, like, into him the crowd is every time he comes out. Right. And, like, the crowd is always chanting along with the, yeah!
Yeah. I think I've even said it on the show. During the Attitude Era. The Attitude Era, when, like, he would have been over huge. I would say, you know, maybe as big as The Rock, Stone Cold.
He's got the same mic skills for sure.
Oh yeah, I saw that in the NWA and in Impact. It's like, this guy, you can get him in front of a bigger audience.
Oh, his,
yeah, it's gonna be huge.
When he was in the NWA, right before he joined NXT, when he was still Eli Drake, that one promo around Christmas time, Shoes of a Champion, you know the one I'm talking about.
Did I say Shoes of a Champion?
Yeah, he's got that big bottle of champagne, and he's like, these shoes on my feet right here, these right here are the shoes of a champion. This jacket right here, Shoes of a Champion. So I gotta tell you, wait, did I just say Shoes of a Champion? Yeah! I don't know if he was actually drunk for that, but it kind of seemed like he might have been.
Yeah.
Because, like, even the interviewer was laughing at that one.
I wouldn't doubt it. And that's, if you're not working.
That's the kind of improvisation in wrestling promos that WWE sorely lacks.
Oh, yeah. Everything's scripted.
I kind of hope he brings the dummy thing back.
Dummy, yeah. Mm-hmm. With the butt, yeah, from it.
That would, yeah.
Impact.
Yeah, Impact,
that would
be
huge.
Oh, That used to be one of my favorite endings to every promo he would ever do. And that's not an insult. That's just a fact of life. Yeah.
And then he just hit the button.
Yeah. Dummy. Yeah. That seems like such a Vince thing, though. And I don't.
Delete.
Wanna...
Dummy. Yeah. Yeah. Delete. Oh. Dummy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember when, Matt Hardy. Broken Matt Hardy. Eli Drake. Now we're reminiscing too hard here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. But LA Knight, he's getting over huge with the audience. We all assumed he was going to be getting the U.S. title shot for SummerSlam, but that doesn't even seem to be happening on SummerSlam. That's going to happen the SmackDown before SummerSlam. They're having the U.S. title match, so I don't know. Why not?
That
have
just shows Vince is in charge.
Why not have a U.S. fucking title match on fucking SummerSlam?
Imagine that. Yeah, your secondary title.
Like. Yeah, the secondary title on SmackDown. Oh my! Like, what? Why would you do that? Whatever. I guess it'll get ratings on SmackDown, but yeah, it's like, and like, no disrespect to Santos Escobar for getting that title shot, but I like him, but the crowd just doesn't do anything when he comes out. Nothing compared to LA Knight. Like, LA Knight gets pops. Like,
no.
And
the crowd's just like, yay, Eddie's theme. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I hope that LA Knight gets to win the U.S. title at some point. I'm not assuming he's going to dethrone Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship at any point, or even the World Heavyweight Championship over on Raw, unless he gets drafted. Not that the draft means anything.
Yeah, it doesn't mean a hell of a lot.
But I can't see him. Like, people were disappointed that he didn't win Money in the Bank. Although, you know, the whole thing with Damian Priest winning that makes a lot more sense storyline wise. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
he's a great wrestler, so Damian deserves that too.
Yeah, for sure. And I just want LA Knight to get a push, because he's like worked so hard to get to where he is, and like being in the biggest wrestling promotion in the entire world and getting consistently cheered from city to city to city everywhere he goes, people chanting along with him. It's a rarity nowadays in wrestling, and for them to not strike when the iron is hot, big mistake. Just like they did with Cody at WrestleMania this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on, strike while the iron is fucking hot.
Yeah.
It's okay. Not every fucking babyface needs to go through all this trials and tribulations. Just give them the win. Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, match number one.
Yeah. Next match, we got Ronda Rousey versus Shayna Baszler in a singles match. This is rumored to be Ronda Rousey's farewell to WWE.
Right. And she goes back to MMA. Conventional wisdom in pro wrestling is you go out on your back,
conventional wisdom, yeah.
But with the ego she has.
That's another thing. Like, this, she's not a pro wrestler. She's someone that is here for, you know, for a paycheck and all that. She was off doing her own thing somewhere else. I could honestly see.
She got her ass
ego.
Whooped by Amanda Nunes and was like, I'm out.
Yeah. Now Nunes is retired, I believe, so she's back in the UFC. And now that UFC and WWE are owned by the same conglomerate, I guess they can just go back and forth.
Forth. Well, I'm actually going against wrestling wisdom, and I'm picking Rousey.
Okay. I'm going to pick Shayna Baszler,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Next, we already talked about this one a little bit. Intercontinental Championship match, Gunther defending against Drew McIntyre. It's going to be a hell of a match, mm-hmm. and I'm assuming it's going to be a very close call. At the end of the day, I got to go with Gunther.
Yep.
Me too.
Yeah.
As Booker T would say, it's going to be big, mighty men slapping meat.
No, that's Big E says that. Big meaty men slapping meat.
that's Booker.
Was it?
Yeah,
it was Booker T. I could swear it was Big E. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But either way, it's going to be a hell of a fucking match. It's going to be a big old hoss fight.
And
there's going to be a lot of chops, a lot of big man drop kicks, and a lot of just, I don't know. It's going to be a great match. Possibly match of the night, I will say, because that triple threat that Gunther and Drew and Sheamus had at WrestleMania, that was one of the best matches of the whole weekend. So I have high hopes for this one.
Right.
Okay. Next up, Ricochet versus Logan Paul.
Well,
I'm happy Ricochet has a featured match on the card.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. This time last year, what was he doing?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Right.
But this could also be possible match of the night too.
Yeah, for different reasons, for sure. Yeah. For like acrobatics and athletic skill, for sure.
Because as much as I hate saying it, which I do a lot, is Logan's good.
He's so good. And I hate him for it.
Right.
He shouldn't be that good.
At least he's a celebrity who gives a shit.
Yeah.
Like, but he shouldn't be that
good. I will say the celebrity era of wrestling nowadays is a lot better than it was even in the 90s or early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Snooki was at WrestleMania for
God, yeah,
reasons.
What?
We shouldn't talk about that, though.
No.
But yeah, I'm going to go with Ricochet, though.
Richard O'Shea?
Rick O'Shea, yeah.
Rick O'Shea, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going with Logan Paul. Like, there's just...
You think he's due for a win? Since he's 3-for-3 with L's?
I don't know. There's just something pointing me that way. I don't know why. I have no business really participating in this because I really don't know what's going on.
But it would also be really funny. Is it like Ricochet wins and then Logan flies to his brother's boxing fight and then his brother loses?
Well, I mean,
but then if Logan wins and flies out to his brother fights and his brother loses, then there's an angle for his podcast. He could be like, I won last night, you didn't.
I suppose.
Then they can bring his brother in.
One's predetermined, but anyway.
Yeah, that boxing is so fake.
Oh yeah, you know, same with that MMA stuff,
crap,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Made up martial arts.
Yes, that's what I'm calling him.
There we are.
Made up martial art.
Yeah,
that just might be the name of the episode.
Yeah,
made up martial art. So Ronda Rousey can go back to made up martial art.
Yeah. Oh, you know.
That's good. That's really good.
Trigger so many people.
Oh, I know, and I'm excited about it. There's our first shirt, boys. Wrestling Night in Canada on the back, made up martial arts.
Made up martial arts.
There we are.
Okay.
All right.
WWE Women's Championship: Asuka defending against Charlotte Flair and Bianca Belair in a triple threat match. Better fucking be Asuka. I'm going for Asuka.
I don't know why.
Are we getting a cash in?
Oh yeah, Io Shirai or Io Sky, whatever you want to call her. She's still walking around with the women's Money in the Bank briefcase.
She did say in her latest interview on Raw that whoever's winning the SummerSlam match, she's leaving as champion.
Well, you don't say that.
Like, she did.
Yeah, but I don't know. I hate when people say when they're going to cash in. Defeats the whole purpose of the briefcase, damn it.
Mm-hmm.
But
as long as it's not Charlotte, I don't care.
I highly doubt. I don't know. I don't. Yeah, as long as it's not Charlotte. Anybody? Well, see, well, Bianca's already been champion. She was a champion for over a year. It's mm-hmm. like, I don't know. Like, give it to Asuka. Come on.
Like, come on, be a sport.
I know she's a multi-time Raw and SmackDown Women's Champion in NXT, but just let her have this.
She's only had it for a few months.
Yeah, just let her. Yeah. Just let her have it. You know, just, Charlotte Flair doesn't have to have everything, does she? Like,
and she's the one I like out of, you know, out of most of the WWF roster. I like Asuka the most.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm
hopefully.
I'm pulling for Asuka. Yeah. My heart and my head both say Asuka.
Yeah.
So we're all going for Asuka on that one. Okay, mm-hmm. cool. Cody Rhodes versus Brock Lesnar. As of right now, this is just a singles match. Monday that could change. It could be a Texas Bull Rope match.
It's
heavily rumored to be a Texas Bull Rope match.
Oh, okay.
Cuz this is their third match. It's the rubber match between the two cuz you know, 50-50 booking, that's just how it works.
Right.
So
probably gonna be
it's gonna be a Texas Bull Rope match. Even if it isn't, I'm going with Cody. It's gotta be Cody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
It's gotta be Cody.
Yeah. Adrenaline.
Even if they don't come up with the stipulation like that, logic tells you, like, yeah, you have to, you know, this is the rubber match. It's gotta mm-hmm. go to Rhodes.
Yeah, but I have a feeling it. Like, if it's the third match between the two,
right?
Hopefully the last one, because this feud's been going on since WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. And we still don't know why Brock Lesnar attacked Cody Rhodes in the first place. So, like, just fucking end it. Like, there was a little bit of a break in there at Money in the Bank when Cody took on Dominic. But, yeah, other than that, it's just been Cody versus Brock for the last... since fucking April. It's been it's like 5 months. It's been a while. 4 months, yeah.
I guess
Cody just comes out here, weenie, weenie,
weenie. Yeah, we don't need any more Cody versus Lesnar. I hope that, like, this needs to be the end and there needs to be, like, a definitive win, definitive... I do think there should be a stipulation. And I think when Cody comes out on Raw 2 days from now, he's going to say that this needs to be a Texas Bull Rope match because I'm Dusty's son, yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I would be down for that, just for that very reason.
Yeah, like, Lesnar's not really a gimmick match guy, but, I don't know, something about bull ropes really just suits his current look, so.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Yeah.
And Brock will bleed the hard way easy in this one.
Oh, yeah.
He'll just say, hit me with the cowbell.
Yeah, I got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell.
Yeah. Just clonk him over and over and over.
You're going to want that cowbell in the match. All right, so we're all going for Mr.
Cody.
Rhodes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The grand son of a plumber. Okay.
Mr. Reynolds is going to win.
Mr. Reynolds. Is that his real last name?
Reynolds?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I guess it would be. Yeah, if Dusty is his dad. Never mind. Different mom. Right. Whoops. Okay. Next up. Singles match of the World Heavyweight title. Seth Rollins defending against Finn Balor. 7 years, I should add, that they had their Universal Championship match to crown the first ever Universal Champion that Finn ended up winning, but ended up having to relinquish because
of the injury.
Yeah, because
has that been 7 years already?
2016, yeah.
Holy shit.
And it hasn't been confirmed as of yet, but I really think it should be the Demon. It would just be a little too appropriate, maybe, even though the Demon's kind of taken some L's in the last little while.
Well, we all knew that what that was going to be.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Collision's on right now for those wondering at home.
Okay,
They just showed what CM Punk had in his bag, and we all knew it was the AEW world title that he never lost.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll go.
Okay.
We'll go back to that at some other time.
CM Punk's sod story.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, I'm going to go for Rollins. But a Damian Priest cash in afterwards on Money in the Bank.
I'm going to go for Balor and then a Damian Priest cash in on Balor.
So you think they're going to break up the Judgment Day, potentially?
Or they'll kick Balor out.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. All right, we'll see. We'll see what happens. What do you got there?
And well, okay, I'm gonna be cheering for the demon, or
if it is the demon,
yeah. Like that. Whichever one shows up, that's who I'll be cheering for.
Okay,
Finn or Balor.
But
it's tradition for Finn to be the demon at SummerSlam. I'm just gonna.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, then, yeah, I could totally see.
Well,
that.
There was, except for that time that he faced the Fiend. But yeah, well,
I just don't see them taking the title off Rollins right now.
Even with the Money in the Bank cash-in? No?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I guess we'll see.
Maybe it's not going to be used yet, or...
Who knows?
You know, yeah.
I definitely feel it probably will be. Definitely, probably, you know.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, so that's actually going to be interesting then, because I think... We all have three different schools of thought with this one.
Yeah. It's definitely it'll be the most divisive one for sure. Mm-hmm. But,
and so last one,
presumably it'll be the main event because Roman's in it, of course. A tribal combat match for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship. Roman Reigns defending against his cousin Jey Uso.
Well, we all know who we want to win.
Oh, yeah, of course. It would just be given the whole Bloodline story, the way it began with Jey Uso, it kind of feels appropriate that he should be the one to dethrone Roman
because
Reigns.
The first person ever to pin Roman in WWE was Jey Uso.
Yeah, at Money in the Bank. Yeah, not the first person in the last 3 years.
Since the first person ever was Jey Uso.
Yeah.
And Money in the Bank, when he pinned him, he jumped off the same turnbuckle.
Yep.
And beat him the same way.
Yep.
But it's going to be Roman.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think that. I don't think they're looking to take, because, like we said earlier, Roman is approaching all of these, you know, eclipsing Pedro, and it's going to be this, and, you know, I think they want to, he's never going to go 8 years.
He's never going to go Bruno. Not.
You know, you
never go full Bruno.
We don't talk about Bruno.
We do talk about Bruno. Okay.
Yeah.
This ain't Encanto or whatever that movie's called.
It is Encanto.
Okay.
I think that they're liking Reigns. Having this long reign,
I'm thinking. The rumor is that it's going to be Cody versus Roman again at WrestleMania 40. So, will they finally finish the story? Who knows? But
nope, Roman's got to hold it another 6 months. Deny.
So he can beat Hogan's longest reign. But yeah, so he's the longest reigning world champion of the WrestleMania era because he's beaten Hulk Hogan's second longest reign. Hmm. So. I don't know if that just seems like just such a made up accolade, but whatever. It is what it is. And and he's beaten, like we said, he beat Pedro Morales' reign too. I guess he's got to beat Bob Backlund's next, doesn't he? Or is it?
I think Backlund's is next, yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I could be wrong. I'm a horrible wrestling fan. I'm sorry.
I think Backlund had it for 4 years.
Did Backlund have it longer than Hogan?
I think it. Might have been around the same,
okay,
ballpark.
Yeah, because there was the top five.
What did Hogan hold it? 1,400.
Yeah, there was 1,400 was Hogan's longest, and then Backlund.
Yeah, his first reign.
And the second one was 1,040 something.
Yeah.
Well, we're looking up stuff on Google while you're all sitting at home listening to us, when you're probably also doing it at home.
Right now,
You know, could have done our research before the show, but whatever.
Yeah.
This is great radio, you know?
Bob Backlund.
Fuck,
I hate when it doesn't, it says for a total. Oh, his first reign was from February 1978 to December 1983.
Oh, okay.
And his second reign was a year.
Okay.
So his first reign was 5 years? Almost okay. 5 years. Over 5 years.
All right.
So I guess Backlund has a longer one than Hogan then.
Yeah.
So third longest of all time is Hogan, then it's Backlund, then it's Bruno.
Okay.
Ah, so he's still got a ways. He's eclipsing a few here and there.
He better not hold that damn belt for 8 years.
But yeah, there's no way. Not in this day and age. Like,
I'm surprised we even got to 1,000 at this point. Uh-huh. You know? Like,
yeah,
like that's unheard of in these days. Like, even like I remember even like a champion holding it for a year. People were like, "What?" Well,
like when Punk held it for 400 and something.
Yeah, and Lesnar held the Universal Championship for 500, whatever.
Yeah, but defended it twice.
Yeah,
well, see, that's another
now,
thing.
Now look at Roman. Like, yeah.
I mean, at least Roman's doing house shows. Wait,
finally, now.
He hasn't defended it on TV since WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, and he's
he
only...
defended it in Mexico last week against Rey Mysterio.
Oh, okay, I guess. But
okay,
like,
okay, now does that really count?
On TV, like, though, it's been like over 100 days since he's defended the championship.
Right.
30-day rule my ass.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'll defend it at a house show once a month. I'll be fine.
Well, technically that would work.
Technically,
that
it
works,
does
then.
Count, but...
Because the last two house show defenses have been against Rey.
Okay, well...
Oh, okay. Well, finally,
we'll take it.
I guess, but it's really not like I can sit here and bash Reigns all night for his reign, and all, but it's not his fault, you know. Like he can only work with what he's he can only work with what he's given, you know. And if they don't have him defending the title regularly, well. You know, because, like, I get it. The wrestling blueprint has changed.
Oh.
House shows aren't as prevalent as they once were. That was the bread and butter of the territories. The TV you saw, okay, was job matches, and the idea was to talk in the studio, talk people into the next house show, you know.
Yeah.
And it worked for many, many years. But yes, a lot has changed. And sometimes I forget that, even though it's been over 30 years.
Yeah.
Since, you know, the territory's died. But sometimes, you know, I'm a little hard on Reigns. And, well, sometimes he doesn't always deserve it.
Well. Yeah. We should have all seen this coming. I mean, he was. It took a heel turn for him to get this pop, for him to get as popular as he did, but, which is what everybody wanted. So,
yeah.
After being pushed down our throat for 8 years first.
Oh yeah, of course.
When no one gave a shit.
I mean, and technically, like he's a 2-time Universal Champion, but he's technically never lost the championship.
Mm-hmm.
So, because he had to give it, he had to relinquish it because he had to go away for a little while because his leukemia came back.
Yeah.
Oh, right. See, that's another thing. You know, he's been fighting through that as well. So
yeah.
Extra horns, for sure.
Yeah.
Any of you guys watch Blood and Guts on AEW recently?
You know, I will be perfectly honest. I recorded it, and I was watching it while I was in bed, and I fell asleep. And I didn't get around to watching it before the next episode of Dynamite aired, and now it's off my... PVR, and I can't watch it again.
Okay, yeah.
But I did watch...
Just Daily Motion.
Yeah, I did watch some highlights of it, and I know what happened, and it seemed like it was a absolute, well, bloodbath.
Well,
a lot of blood, not so much guts.
Mox, yeah.
Well, he starts bleeding on the way to the ring.
Yeah.
So, like,
there was one part where the camera cut for when Ibushi came out for, like, probably 10-15 seconds, and it turned back and Mox had more blood on him. It's like, did he just go cameras over there and quickly gigged again? Like, because he had like a little cut from like dry blood from earlier, and then the camera just cut back to him and he's just fucking gushing. It's like, what happened to you, my dude?
Yeah. It was
the camera
such a...
just went over there and back.
It was such a weird put together match too, because like they had Pac and
Well, it was going to be Danielson, but he broke
his
arm.
He broke his arm in the match with Okada. So he's out for who knows how long. But, Pac joining in there only to kind of just walk out on the BCC.
Because he accidentally took an uppercut from...
From Cesaro, or Claudio, sorry. And, you know, y'all know who we're talking about. And then Takeshita was in there, too, but, like, then Don Callis told him to get out of the match, so it ended up being 5-on-3.
Mm-hmm.
So then, obviously, the Elite took advantage of that, and... what was it? They had Yuta, like, hanging... Like, they were strangling Yuta, and then Moxley was cuffed to the cage, and he just ended up throwing in the towel and giving up for surrendering. Yeah. So, a bit of an anticlimactic end, I suppose, but the match itself... Like, the bulk of the match itself was just... Lived up to its namesake, I suppose.
And then we had a bed of nails on TV.
Oh, yeah. How many nails were on that bed?
1,056.
Jesus Christ. And... Omega took a body slam onto that?
No, Omega got drop kicked into it, and then it fell on him and slid down his arm.
Oh, lovely.
That would have hurt way more.
Yeah.
And then he body slammed Omega on it.
Okay.
And then he stood on his hand on it.
Ugh.
And then Mox got kicked on it, and Ibushi did a moonsault.
I guess when there's a lot of them and they're that close together, it would hurt less.
It's still going to suck, but not getting impaled.
I guess, yeah.
Did you watch the Being the Elite?
I did not know.
Oh, after the back, he's pulling tacks out of Ibushi's back.
Oh,
after
the
back, Ibushi just jumped into them. He's like, adrenaline.
Oh, yeah. I remember one of the Bucks when they were standing on top of the cage, just like opened up a bag and it was raining thumbtacks all over the ring.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then at the end of the match, like after it went off the air, Ibushi jumped into them. Just adrenaline, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
And in the back, Omega's like, why do we do it? Like, Being the Elite, he's like, why do we do this outlaw mud show shit?
Yeah.
We've done too much of this lately. And his back is just cut up from the nails.
Yeah. I also found it weird how, like, Kota Ibushi, like, didn't debut when they announced him for the match.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they did a video package, and it's just like, oh my god, Kota Ibushi is gonna be here next week. And it's like, why can't he be here this week?
Mm-hmm.
It's like... He's not signed to any other promotion. He doesn't have any like obligations.
He doesn't have anywhere to be. Folks.
Yeah, like, he's not in New Japan anymore. Like,
and this is his second match in a year. And a
half. Yeah, a lot of people said it wasn't his best showing, but
even apologized for it and said it wasn't.
Well, I don't know. I hope we get to see more of him potentially. Maybe he'll be at All In at Wembley. Who knows? That's another card I'm really looking forward to. Yeah. That's coming up pretty soon, too.
Yeah, that's actually something that I wanted to talk about.
Really hope... Oh, it's going to be Wembley.
Yeah.
That means we're going to have to come here stupid early.
What? Is that on a Sunday?
It's a Sunday.
Okay. Well, it'll be on at noon.
I'll check. I'll
like,
double check.
England is... Like, London is only 6 hours ahead of us. So, it's not going to be on stupid early. Like, maybe noon, 1 o'clock.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So we pajama parties the night before. Yeah, so
not like we're sitting around in our feety pajamas, sleeping bags in front of the TV, eating our bowls of cereal, cross legged in front of the.
We should just do that anyway.
Yeah, we got to get like
it's a Sunday. Yeah,
we're all old men. We got to get gluten free sugar, low sugar cereals with oat milk or something. Yeah.
Isn't
Magic Spoon
show,
and an oatmeal muffin on the side?
Of course. Yeah.
Isn't that show like 3,000 more left to sell before it's sold out?
It's 3,000 left to sell until like apparently the biggest like gate in wrestling history or something. It's just funny how AEW fans are like, they saw WWE saw us book Wembley, now they're trying to book it for Mania next year or whatever, and it's like, dumbasses.
Not really.
SummerSlam, Bret Hart, Bulldog.
That was a different Wembley Stadium.
Still Wembley Stadium.
Like you said, it's still Wembley. It doesn't matter if, like, it's no one hates wrestling more than wrestling fans.
Oh no,
and it's
true.
And no one hates wrestling fans more than wrestling fans.
Yeah,
because most of the AEW fans online are fucking stupid, and I hate them.
Oh no, wrestling fans are the worst. It's like I don't know, like the worst part about any fandom is the fans itself. That's like whether it's wrestling, comic books, metal,
Star Wars.
Yeah,
like it's just So like Wembley Stadium has events in it all the time, and the general manager of Wembley Stadium really doesn't give a rat's ass if. Well, I'm an AEW fan. I can, so I'm not going to book the WWF here. No, No, he's not. Just as soon as they can get a big event booked, they're going to take it.
Yeah, but that's like with next year, WrestleMania is in Philadelphia at the Link.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then rumored the year after that, it's going to be in Minneapolis, which I guess we'll be probably be taking a road trip if that's the case.
We fucking better. Like, even my dad has said, if we don't do Mania, we got to do WrestleMania Access, because that would be fucking cool.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't want to get... If we do go to WrestleMania, if it is in Minneapolis, I don't want to get shit tickets. I want to be, like, at least a little bit close. I'll spend $300 on it.
I'm good for $300, yeah. I'll do $300, yeah.
That's I guess that's U.S. So it's more like $500. Yeah. So it's like,
yeah. And who knows
the price of a metal fest in the States? Let's go.
Yeah,
yeah. And who knows with inflation?
Oh yeah, like, that's
it might be more in 2 years
time. Yeah,
$200.
Well, the best thing about Mania is all the independent cards.
We go out there for a week and we hit all the indie shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when you guys go to Mania, I'll go back to the hotel and have a couple drinks and watch.
You wouldn't actually come to Mania itself?
No, I'm not sitting through Mania inside a stadium, no.
I guess it would
but here's the thing, too. We wouldn't worry about taking a car. We'd get out of there in probably an hour with foot traffic, but not like 8 from a car.
We'd also have to book a hotel, hopefully near the stadium, which would be another $200 a night, probably. Yeah. Like, so, well, good thing it's 2 years from now. Let's start saving.
Yeah, we better.
Yeah. Hey, both bands I'm in, we're not touring 2025.
No, and but with that being said, WrestleMania can't even possibly be in London until 2026. So. Bit of a far cry from now. Like 3 years from now, people will be like, oh yeah, the Wembley thing for AEW.
Yeah, like, so everyone just relax.
Oh yeah, that happened.
Yeah.
Good for them.
There we are.
Yeah.
Before we jump in tonight's turnbuckle talk though, we actually hit, speaking of live wrestling and all that. Well, when we say wrestling,
it's a very loose term.
Very loose terms, in parentheses. Yeah. But once
wrestling.
Again, and it's from Minneapolis, I believe. Or is it Fargo? Fargo's Time Bomb Wrestling recently came through town.
Came back.
And what this concept is for everyone listening, tuning in for the first time, welcome. What Time Bomb is basically two mud show death matches, no ring, much garbage and punishment as you
Fargo,
possibly
can. In their shows in Fargo, they have a ring.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's
awesome.
And
they have like 5 or 6 match cards.
Wow,
and they're not all death matches.
Okay, well, when we get it up here, we get... two death matches, no ring, weapons.
But it was from 4 people. Well, it was supposed to be 4 people from out of town, but it was only 3.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll get to that. But it's basically two matches mixed in with two live bands, one hardcore, one grindcore band or whatever. Just music that reflects... deathmatch, because you really can't have, you know, a brutal deathmatch and in between like have some happy-go-lucky hair metal type band. You know, everyone ready for a good time tonight? Get the fuck off the stage.
Boo!
Yeah, before one of these deathmatch wrestlers comes in and does a number on you. But once again, okay, it took a nice amount of alcohol in Snowy's system to get into this, and once again, I quite enjoyed it, but particularly Radioactive Metal alum Cass was, or Casanova Valentine, we should
and the, wrestling the full name. No, Wrestling Night in Canada alum.
Did you say Radioactive
Metal?
Oh,
sorry.
Oh, beer.
Whoopsie.
Oh, oopsie.
We get a beer at the show tomorrow.
Do we? Okay.
There we go. Yeah. our alum Casanova Valentine was in town. So that kind of made it extra special for us. What do you say? He main evented against a local
Chevy Chevy.
Veteran Chevy Chevy, which you said it was supposed to be.
It was supposed to be Dr. Redacted.
Who was not from Winnipeg.
Dr. Redacted.
That's something. So for me personally, since I had no idea what a Dr. Redacted is, to have our boy step in was okay.
Well, the first person I saw when I walked in there, besides Damon Spriggle and Patrick Briggs, was Chevy, and I'm like, oh, please tell me Cass showed up. Oh fuck! I'm like, oh fuck! I mean, like, I love Chevy, but like, oh fuck! Please tell me Cass is here.
Yeah.
And then he walked. I was like, hey, fuck. Okay. So, it sucked not seeing Dr. Redacted because he. Jesus Christ, it would have been a fucking bloodbath if it was Dr. Redacted.
Oh, okay.
He just does not give a shit.
Fair.
Like, he wrestled John Wayne Murdoch last night, and,
on
ICW.
Oh, okay.
And holy shit. Wow. I've seen highlights. Okay. I haven't had time to watch the show yet. I'm probably going to do that tonight. But
is it on Fight Plus?
No. Oh. IWTV.
Oh, okay. Okay, that really doesn't
good lord.
If it was on Fight,
yeah. You mentioned Badger Briggs.
Yeah.
Okay, and I had no idea who she was. Okay, and they had the mix, and I'm not going to get into how I feel about mixed.
Intergender.
Yeah, you know, especially with this. She made a fan of me. You know, I actually bought wrestling merch. Like, I don't really have a whole hell of a lot of it. But, you know, she was at her booth afterwards, and I was really impressed, and went over and said hi and grabbed a shirt. I don't normally
Erica do that. I can't remember if she grabbed a shirt or not, but she grabbed like two of the trading cards.
Oh, okay.
And then Badger signed them both. So mine's in a case now, like in one of the protectors.
Oh, okay.
And Erica needs a protector.
Yeah, and Erica is a friend of ours.
Mm-hmm. They would know. We've talked about her on the show before.
Well,
yeah.
Who knows? Okay.
And then Kayla came with us again. And
right.
Yep.
Right. Right on. Yeah, so it was actually...
I was not there for those ones.
Well...
I usually don't attend these. No, right. I did the one time, and I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. But
yeah, you've seen enough?
Yeah, seen enough, yep.
Oh, that wasn't even intentional. Oh, God.
I can do that forever.
Let's go see us. But anyway. it was cool meeting Cass and... Finally, and hanging out and having drinks. And it was a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully.
I drank a little too much, but I mean, sometimes that happens. God, the next day sucked. Well, but.
Usually does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fun and good time. And
excellent. Excellent.
I watched his vlog. Have you guys watched the Valentine Vision new episode yet?
Nope.
No. What's going on?
Oh, it was basically him, like, he films when he wrestles. Like, he goes to different cities. He'd be like, oh, I'm in Winnipeg, blah, blah, blah. And he'd show, like, footage of him at the airport. And then footage of them hanging out at the venue.
Oh, wow.
I'm in Winnipeg, you idiot.
I wish you said that. That would have been great.
I have to check that out.
And then footage of the show. And then he filmed me and him when I was wearing his shirt.
Oh, nice.
Hanging out.
Cool. All right, I'm gonna have to check that out.
So you're a YouTube star now, is what you're saying?
Fuck no. I have a YouTube channel for like Metalhead Box, but I can't afford it right now, so I don't even have that anymore.
Well, when was the last time you uploaded a video for that?
Metalhead Box?
Yeah,
I guess the last time you ordered
like four
one.
Months.
Oh, okay.
Months. But I upload like band shit now.
Okay.
Like, oh, I was at this show. So now I gotta upload all my Ripcords videos before Defeated Sanity tomorrow to film more.
I have never gotten on board with the whole YouTube thing, and as like an audio engineer, I think a lot of people expect it out of me, but I just don't know what I would do differently from everybody else that already has so many audio engineers. And I have like all the equipment. I got a nice area to film over here. I got lights. I got cameras. I just I don't really have
a whole
lot.
You gotta have the wall of bubblies.
I don't have a whole lot of action. But I don't know, like.
When bands record down here, just like.
I have my Instagram. That's what I got. Like, I just don't know what to do for YouTube content, like, to get subscribers. I gotta do something unique, and I just don't have the creativity or the time to do that.
See, but, that's, time is a thing. Inclination is a thing. It's definitely tough. It's definitely tough.
Just be like, hi, Sam, it's 22.
22. I'm not gonna piggyback off Sam.
No. We love you, Sam.
Yeah.
Hope to see you soon, bud.
Well, let's kind of switch gears here.
But Snowy, since we do this, you do this one after we watch pay-per-views and review them. Time Bomb Pro Wrestling. Horns up, horns down.
Oh, shit. That's right. That's right. Thank you. Yeah, you didn't give it a rating. Good call. You know what? I hate to say it, but horns up.
Yeah?
Horns up. I had a good time. I had a good time.
Yeah, that's fun. Horns up for me, of course, because I like deathmatch wrestling. So.
Of course.
I just also remember working a couple days later, walked into work, and I almost slipped on the floor, and I'm like, what the fuck? There was like 10 tacks in my shoes. Each shoe, and I'm like, shit.
Holy jeez.
And I'm just sitting there. Corey walks over to me. What are you doing? I'm like, forgot.
Well, that was the biggest thing about the No Ring Deathmatch show that I went to. It was just like the glass. It's just such a, I'm so fucking terrified of broken glass. And it's just like, you find shards of it in your hoodie and your, like, some of it could easily get in your eye, and that shit's not easy to get out.
No, I picked glass out of my eye for like 2 weeks after that.
It's terrifying. Like,
I instinctively, like, when they're going to smash, you know, fluorescent light bulbs over someone, it's shut the eyes.
The scariest spot of the entire night for me was when Badger, or it was one of them, hit the other one with like the 3-2 bundle, and then half the bundle flew and it hit me right in the balls. And I'm like, I was like, what the? Okay, we're good.
Yeah.
Scary.
Yeah, I think that would be.
Hit me with the flat part. Yeah. I'm like, oh, if it would have been like the edge, gone, done.
Yeah, see, that's the scary thing for the participants too. Like getting hit with the bulbs is one thing, but now you got the jagged pieces.
Yeah,
as well. If you're not extra careful with that, then it can get nasty.
It's like when we watch any of that GCW stuff that involves a lot of light tubes, and there's this broken glass all in the ring, and people are just rolling around in it. And I'm just like, nah.
Makes me
a little uneasy. But
well, let's kind of switch gears here to some real wrestling.
Yep.
Here, let's go back a little bit to yesteryear.
But yeah, Cass, nice to meet you, bud. Hopefully you'll come back again soon.
Yeah, hopefully we can have him on the show again.
Yeah,
sometime.
For sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Hopefully next time he stays a bit longer, we could do an in person.
Yeah, if he wants to fucking come crash here. I got a guest room all set up now.
There we are. Cass, if you're listening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Valentine.
We got you, bud.
Yeah.
Are you guys caught up on, or how much of this season's of Dark Side of the Ring have you guys?
Since the last episode, I have only watched the Matt Bloom to this day.
Oh, okay.
So I can't. Okay. Not really a show I keep up with. Sorry,
I've only watched two from this season also.
Yeah.
Okay, what have you?
Matt Bloom and Bam Bam.
Okay, so you actually watched the latest episode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I haven't got to it. It's on Bam Bam Bigelow and...
Not Terry Gordy.
Not that Bam Bam. Even though, like, I haven't seen it, that still kind of gave me the inspiration for... Hey, here's a guy that we could kind of give our ideas, our two cents on.
And also for people, if still confused, not the Flintstones Bam Bam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the original Bam Bam.
Bam Bam Rubble.
I'm sure. Yeah. And I've never actually read or heard Terry Gordy, even as a shoot or even as a work, say either way. That he was inspired by Bam Bam Rubble. I'm pretty sure that's where he got it from, though.
Of course.
you know, because he was even as a because he was Bam Bam Rubble. He was a he was an alien. No, he was
Bam Bam Rubble. He was a caveman, wasn't he?
Yeah, okay, but he's supernatural.
Was he?
Yeah, because he's got the strength. Was he?
No,
yeah.
But he
yeah,
was,
no, Wilma, he, not Wilma, Betty and Barney, they wished upon a star. I can't believe I'm remembering this now.
I just thought Bam Bam was just deceptively strong because he was a caveman, and it's just funny that he's just that strong.
No.
Right? He's a little kid, and he like carries around a club, and he can drag his he can beat Fred over the head with his club and then drag him with one hand.
No, no. Of course, yeah. But then that was the
I really hope all their old episodes are on YouTube.
Oh, probably.
Because I know, because recently I've been watching, I know we're off topic again, but it always happens with us.
Yep.
When we talk like, oh, we're talking music, and then it's like 20 minutes. Like, oh, shit.
And now we're talking about the Flintstones.
Yeah, okay, yeah, but this is actually kind of relevant, though.
Yeah, but lately, again, I went back in all the 1967 Spider-Man cartoons on YouTube.
Really?
Oh, good.
So I watched it all again.
Excellent, excellent. Those are old favorites of mine. Yeah, but with the Flintstones, this was an era when they really didn't talk about sex.
No.
Okay, so... Betty and Barney Rubble, they wanted a child.
Oh, yeah.
So instead of Barney screwing his wife, they decided
instead of him hitting her with a club.
They decided to wish upon a star as it went by for a kid. And then, boom, magically, they have a kid the next day.
Of course.
And because of that, like, that's the supernatural thing. That's why Bam Bam is so strong. That's why it's such a great name
and
for pro wrestlers.
And just maybe to just get a little off topic, did Fred and Wilma always have pebbles from the beginning of the show? Or
you know what? I think so.
Or she wasn't delivered by like a pterodactyl or something?
I've never seen an
instead
episode
of a stork.
That I don't recall an episode where pebbles arrived.
Okay,
you know.
So she was just always there.
I think so. Okay. Don't hold me to that. No, our most mature listener. I'm gonna get an email from him as soon as this goes back. Why you don't remember the origins of Pebbles and all that fuck Snowy?
You don't know
Christ.
Where Pebbles Flintstone
you don't
came
know.
From?
You don't know. Shit. You know, nothing worse than you know. There's nothing worse for than Flintstone fans than
when you don't remember when their kids were born.
That's right. That's right. They say wrestling fans are bad. Try to get into it online in a comment section with Flintstone fans. Oh boy, she gets ugly then.
Yeah.
So yeah, like Bam Bam, perfect name.
Yep.
You know, and fortunately, it hadn't been done to death. I believe there was really only two of them that made it to any sort of prominence.
Okay.
You know, like,
yeah, I guess I can't really, I can only think of the two. I can't think of, I'm pretty sure there's been some people on the indies that anywhere. That
there could be 20 or 30
feed
of
off
them.
That, but
right. But, so that's why when I first heard of Bam Bam Bigelow, it didn't bother me.
No,
you know, that. You know, oh wow, that name's already being used. You know,
there's been a couple Bam Bams, there's been a couple Nature Boys, there's been a couple.
There's 203 episodes on YouTube
of the Flintstones.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow. Well, right on. 203.
Wow. Well, yeah, it was a sitcom.
Yeah. That's 10 seasons.
It's,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It's people, and it's the same thing with the Simpsons.
Yeah.
And King of the Hill and Family Guy and South Park. These are not children's cartoons.
That's my purse. I don't
and
know you.
People get pissed. You know, oh, this program is too graphic. It's too violent. It's this and that. It's not good for the kids. No shit.
Yeah.
And no one ever said it was for kids. And that was the same thing with the Flintstones. Everyone thinks, you know, and then the Jetsons after that, even Scooby-Doo. I know once again, we're off topic here.
Roll Raggy.
Even Scooby-Doo was,
there was
an adult
there.
Sitcom.
But, you know, I still think my favorite part of the Flintstones was like, how the appliances were all like prehistoric animals or something. And then they
of
would
course.
Always, and they would always crack some sort of pun about like what they did. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's definitely what it was all about. Yeah. Okay. Even though I knew we were talking about Bam Bam Bigelow when we pressed record. I honestly did not think we were going to be talking about the fucking Flintstones.
Let's just not talk about the movie, the live action movies that came out in the 90s.
Oh, God.
The less said about those, the better.
Oh, God.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, then let's.
And back to regular programming.
Yeah. Yes. Do you guys recall the first time hearing about, seeing, etc., Bam Bam Bigelow?
ECW.
First time I ever heard about him was when he just crashed WCW Nitro in the 90s, 98, it must have been, when he first debuted.
Oh, you were late to the
I was.
Party.
Hey, I didn't start watching wrestling until 1998. Sorry. Like, it was like...
Oh, yeah. Okay. I know, because you're older than this guy.
Yeah.
Okay, but I kind of forget.
But
he's
nobody...
Been...
Yeah, I know, but like, you gotta remember that nobody in my family, not my parents, not my older sister, not my grandparents... Nobody in my family but me watches wrestling.
Yeah, no, that was me too.
Zero people. And like,
yeah,
I just happened to start watching it because it was like the Attitude Era and I was in the seventh grade and it was just the biggest thing going at the time.
So many Austin 316 and DX
so
shirts.
Many DX shirts, so many NWO shirts. Like, it was everywhere. And I'm just like, what is this? And people are like, you don't know about wrestling? And I'm like, no. They're just like, oh, man, you got to check this out and blah, blah. Or it's like, or, you know, it's that era where, like, you know, when you're kids and, like, if you don't know something automatically, you're a fucking idiot.
Right.
Yeah, you know, a lot of that.
It's like, yeah. And a lot of what?
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Okay, Bigelow in WCW.
Yeah.
I'm trying to.
He came in, if I remember correctly, he came in just on a random episode of Nitro and just invaded the show and just beat a bunch of people up in the back, and he didn't really do a whole lot solo from what I remember, but he did at one point. He had this stable with Diamond Dallas Page and Canyon called the Triad, I think.
Okay, right.
Yeah, and they were like these three dudes from New Jersey. They won the tag team titles and they had the Freebird rule going on with them too. So yeah.
Oh. Bam, 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 Freebird rule. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm slow tonight. Okay. Okay, dude, you said
ECW.
Yeah. That was...
Oh, and also he had a cameo on that, you know, the movie Ready to Rumble with David Arquette. We've talked about it. He had a cameo on that movie.
Movie was so bad, I forgot Bam Bam was in it.
Yeah, I don't think he had any speaking lines, but yeah, it wasn't a great movie, but you know, but he's had, and also, he had a cameo in the movie Major Payne. Remember that movie? You ever seen that with Damon Wayans?
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was just this biker that the kids hired to like beat up Major Payne, but he ends up getting beat up himself.
Well, okay, well, there's a...
Yeah, with ECW.
There's a turnbuckle talk.
Yeah.
Roles that wrestlers have had in movies.
Yeah.
Will.
Yeah. We'll get to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
ECW. Like, with my dad being on here before, he was saying, and you asked him, so have you, like, something about ECW? And dad went, yeah, he used to wake him up at 2 in the fucking morning, watch it on TNN.
Okay. Right on. And
that's the time it came on.
Right.
Like 2
right.
in the fucking morning. He'd walk into my room, kick the bed, and be like, fuck up, ECW's on.
Don't Let's tell go. Mom.
Tell your mother.
Can't tell your mom. She's out. Bigelow was part of the triple threat in ECW, right? With Shane Douglas, and he replaced someone. Okay. I didn't. I'm just going off the top of my head.
Google.
It was Douglas, Candido, and Bigelow. I believe Bigelow had replaced someone, so he was part of that. So I swear, like, what one of the biggest factors for success that both the WWF Attitude Era had and for the Nitro Era, was all of the great ideas they took from ECW. That in itself could probably be a turnbuckle talk as well.
Holy shit, there was a lot of members.
One of those was,
Why is there so many?
The Triad was their version of the Triple Threat.
Yep.
The original Triple Threat consisted of Shane Douglas, Dean Malenko, and Chris Benoit.
Okay. Yeah, which that would, you know, over time would basically become the Radicals.
Apparently the group disbanded in 2013, so I guess it went through multiple companies.
Okay,
because everybody that was in it was, well, Shane Douglas, the leader, duh.
Right.
Malenko, Benoit, Too Cold Scorpio, Candido, Brian Lee, Bigelow, Lance Storm, Supreme, Lizzie Borden, Dread King Logan, and Mitch Hewitt. So I guess it went to XPW for a while.
Yeah, because that's the only place that would take Lizzie Borden.
Yeah.
You know, for any capacity, because she was married to Rob Black. And I don't know what's going on.
XPW's with still her. There's a show tonight, actually.
Oh, jeez. Okay,
yeah, but I don't know if Lizzie Borden is. Well, she's too old by now, I guess. I don't know. Unless she's working behind the scenes. And I highly doubt she's still married to Black, anyways.
No.
So.
No idea.
Yeah. I just remember the one Lizzie Borden movie that I had seen. It's like, this is your wife, dude.
Yeah.
But, okay, I guess that's a different world. You know, okay. Mm-hmm. You know, so, yeah.
But yeah, it's like we.
Sorry?
Yeah, but, like, yeah, ECW is where I covered.
Fair enough.
Or maybe it might have been before, because I remember playing all WWF games with Bam Bam in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was only after, like, WCW folded that I, like, started looking back at stuff and realized that he was in WWF for, like, a while. And
he
that,
was in the first WWF game, WrestleMania, for the NES, which I found at home.
Okay.
So I got to bring it over for you next time I come up.
Cool,
next
man.
Fuck, that's what I was going to bring today.
Okay,
yeah, whatever. It's no rush.
With myself for just a very short period, as I recall, reading about a Bam Bam Bigelow in the Aftermags, but then it didn't take long before, I don't remember his original territory, but he went to World Class, and they gave him a Russian sympathizer gig. Russia. Khrushchev, Russia Yurkov, Russia Yurkov. He went by, and it was just the same thing with Crusher Khrushchev in the Crockett territory, where you know, he came from Minnesota with the Road Warriors and Rick Rude and Kurt Hennig and that whole gang, that whole era, and he went to Crockett as and. They put him as a Russian sympathizer, you know, with Ivan and Nikita Koloff. They did the same thing with Bam Bam Bigelow in World Class as Crusher Yurkov or your cunt or something.
Crusher Yurkov.
You know, I get whatever.
There's a name.
There's a name. Yeah.
Give it time. That'll be a character in XPW.
Yeah. Crusher. Probably.
This just in, Wrestling Night in Canada has been canceled by the Shining Wizards Network.
That's right.
Please leave a message after the beep.
The first time actually seeing Bam Bam Bigelow wrestling is when he made his WWF debut.
Okay.
Debut.
Looking back, like, after, like, WCW folded, I was just like, oh, this Bam Bam guy used to be in WWF, and to my surprise, actually main evented WrestleMania 11.
Even
before that, when he first showed up, we're talking 1988.
Oh, yeah, okay. I remember then Bam Bam in WWF first then, because his match with Lawrence Taylor was his last match in his first run, I think.
Right,
or
he had left
match.
And came back.
Yeah,
but yeah, like his first exposure.
His first match back was Lawrence Taylor. His the first time he left was a house show, apparently from the Dark Side episode with Andre.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
He had a match with Andre at a house show, and Andre just beat the fuck out.
Yeah, because they were kicking him out. But when
he's like
he first showed up,
audio. from Bam Bam talking about that match with Andre. It was like Andre was trying to legit kill me. That's what he was saying.
I don't doubt it, because I think the WWF was kicking Bigelow out, which was really surprising, because when they brought him in, like, they pushed him to the moon.
Yeah.
You know, and he was amazing. Here's this big guy, tattoos.
Yeah, on, tattooed head.
On his head, and the guy could fly.
Yeah, for his size, damn. Like, he was not a small person by any stretch of the imagination. Uh-huh, he was a very, very large man.
The first Survivor Series, it was just Hogan had been eliminated. He was on Hogan's team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was the first Survivor Series. And everyone but Bigelow had got eliminated.
Huh.
And it was down to, I think it was Bigelow, and this is totally off the top of my head.
Right.
Bigelow, Boss Man, Akeem. God help us with that.
Akeem the African Dream.
God, that was so bad. Oh, even for the 80s, that just made me cringe.
Yeah.
And Andre and Bigelow eliminated Akeem, eliminated Boss Man, and it finally took Andre, like one of the worst hip tosses of all time. But by then, Bigelow was out of gas. That's the story that they told in the ring. He was huge. Like, they were pushing him to the moon, and I honestly, maybe this Dark Side of the Ring episode will shed some light on it. You know, I should watch it.
And it shared, the, of course, the dark side of his death and everything.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know how he's been dead since 2007, it said. So he's been gone for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
I never looked into how he passed away. But I will...
Yeah.
I will tune into the Dark Side episode.
It's really sad.
Yeah. Oh, I imagine it is.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I'm a couple episodes behind, and so
it's never been a death that wasn't sad. Yeah. Like,
yeah, true enough.
I mean,
whoever was 80 years old.
Like,
you know.
Yeah, if it's still sad if someone is like lived a full life, but it's like less sad somehow.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, because you know he had a great run, and we got a lot of great memories.
Yeah,
and thank you, sir. You know, like.
And also, I got to say, those spandex, that full body spandex that man wore, unmistakably him.
Him.
When,
yes.
When you see those spandex, often imitated, never duplicated.
Oh, for
you
sure.
You know who they're,
yeah.
Well, like, big guys on the indies these days. Like, a lot of people try and wear full body spandex like that with the flames and the initials. Like, you know who they're trying to pay tribute to is the second that you see them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh, bam, bam.
Yeah.
And like when him and Taz went through the ring in ECW.
Oh, yeah.
And off the stage and through the stage.
Well, did he have him in the Taz mission and he just like laid back? Yeah.
The end of the episode. I mean, we might as well go watch it after we're done recording.
Yeah.
But Taz talks about the secrets on the whole they all did it.
Yeah.
Ooh, kayfabe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm an old
school. No doubt about it.
Yeah. No doubt about it. But he's like, yeah, I kind of feel like an ass for talking about this because I'm old school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that's. And I can't help but think, is over as Bigelow got, and unfortunately, the star shined for a very short time, you know, before, you know, his career began to dwindle. You took that young, fresh Bam Bam from 88 and you put him in the Attitude Era, might have been a different story. We talk about how over LA Knight,
yeah,
you know, would have been in the Attitude Era. I honestly think that Bigelow would have been a huge thing too. Maybe not as big as The Rock and Austin or the Undertaker, like I honestly think LA Knight might have been.
Well, like, no. Even Kevin Nash is like, huge. LA Knight is too much like The Rock.
Kevin Nash knows a lot of stuff, but he doesn't know jack about the modern product. I'm sorry. I don't want to talk down on the guy because I know he's gone through some shit lately, losing his best friend and his son. But he needs to kind of just, you know, not bash the new guys so much.
Yeah,
he's more over than anyone else on the roster, so just be happy with that.
yeah, give him that, give him that. And I'm gonna wrap up this talk just by saying, like, it's too bad that his most well-known match, okay, is not that Survivor Series.
No.
Match. It was the Lawrence Taylor debacle.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, it's no wonder, you know, it's like, that is a career killer for a wrestler when you just bring in a celebrity for the sake of having a celebrity that doesn't care.
Yeah. Lawrence Taylor, you know, did give people, wrestlers, their props, saying that he was so winded after that match that he didn't know how these people did it. So, well, as a football player, that's saying something about the training that wrestlers go through to be able to do what they do.
Mm-hmm. Considering what a tough sport football is. Never played it. Okay, but I played rugby.
Yeah, and there are definitely some similarities between wrestling and football, but for a professional NFL star to actually, like, give props to wrestlers on how much endurance it takes to be a wrestler, that's saying something. So it's not like any of these UFC fighters that constantly make fun of wrestling for being staged. It's like, but it's not trying to be fighting. That's the whole thing that they don't fucking understand.
You don't, understand. The best use of a football player ever was the WrestleMania II Battle Royal with William Perry, the refrigerator.
Yep.
He got eliminated and he pulled Big John Studd over to eliminate Stud from it. That was the angle that they were going for. He cheated. Okay. Everyone still got the big pop and it didn't hurt Stud at all. That's how you do that. And I think sometimes pro wrestling bookers have to learn how to book. Mm-hmm. It's not that hard, people. No,
not really.
Also, before we go off, before we finish up, Vince McMahon had back surgery there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There we go.
I hope he doesn't die.
Who, who knew Vince McMahon had a spine?
Who knew? So,
what?
On that note, I think maybe it is just about time to bring this crazy train into the station. How can people get a hold of us?
They can get a hold of us on Facebook at facebook.com/WrestlingNightInCanada or on Instagram at WrestlingNightInCanada.
And, of course, Wrestling Night in Canada is proud members of the Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizardsnetwork.com. Check out all of the really awesome programs on there. That network is predominantly pro wrestling, but there is some pop culture as well, including if you haven't had enough of your cool Uncle Snowy for one night, go there. There is a really cool program. Really cool, courtesy of my partner, Aaron, called Radioactive Metal, where we talk all things heavy and hard and all of that good stuff. So in the meantime and in between time, that's it. This has been another exciting episode of Wrestling Night in Canada. I'm Snowy White.
I'm Matt Copper.
I'm Dustin Maruga.
Signing off.
And we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.